Hare Krishna. It is my great honor and fortune to have the opportunity to be with all of you at this very holy time, in this very holy place of Sri Jagannath Puri Dham. At the beginning of our yatra, we have invoked the blessings of our Guru Parampara. And through them, appealing for the mercy of the Panchatattva and Sri Sri Radha Gopinath and their eternal associates. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, every year, for many years, he would call his devotees to come to Jagannath Puri. When they would come, they would spend 4 months of Chaturmasya along with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The highlight was together as they celebrated Sri Jagannath Dev's Rath Yatra. During this Rath Yatra ceremony, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed to the world the most intimate secrets of the spiritual world. Millions of people come for the Rath Yatra. Most do not really understand what it means. In fact, without the causeless mercy of the Lord, no one could really understand what it means. Because the love of the residents of Vrindavan for Krishna is beyond our intellectual capacity to memorize various explanations in the scriptures or even by the previous acharyas of what is the love, what is the ras of the gopas and the gopis in their devotion to Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. It can only be understood by grace. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he danced in front of Jagannath's chariot, he was in the mood of Sri Radha. After a long duration of separation, from the time that Uddhava, actually from the time that Akrura took Krishna from Vrindavan, from the time that Uddhava came to give Krishna's message to the gopis, Uddhava was considered the closest associate, the dearest friend in the devotee of Krishna in all of Dwarka. They would eat together. They would reveal each other's minds to each other. They would sometimes lay beside one another in a bed talking, sometimes joking. Krishna would even consult Uddhava to engage him in his loving service by explaining the complexities of what was going on in Dwarka and with Mother Bhumi. But when Uddhava came to Vrindavan and saw all of the residents, their total absorption in Krishna, in feelings of separation, he felt his own devotion to be insignificant. This Viparlamba Bhava, or love of the separation of the gopis, the Brijabasis, was highlighted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as his followers as the deepest, most profound experience of prema, or ecstatic love. Uddhava was with Krishna practically throughout the day, every day. And yet, when he saw the love of the Vrindavan devotees in their separation, he felt so far away from Krishna in comparison. Because within their heart of hearts, they were 24 hours a day completely absorbed in loving remembrance. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami tells us that when Krishna left Vrindavan, the gopis cried for the rest of their lives. And the nature of the love between Krishna and his devotees, it is ever increasing. In the material world, time does have the power to heal broken hearts. But in this world, a broken heart is when a loved one is gone, either through betrayal or through death. But Krishna is never gone from the heart. When Krishna apparently physically left Vrindavan, then the gopis and the gopas who otherwise would be expressing their love for Krishna from their heart through their senses, through seeing him with their eyes, speaking to him with their words. Now that love from their heart was going deeper, 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 where Krishna was reciprocating with them most intimately, not just as the Paramatma, but as Shamsundar, the beautiful Lord of their lives, who was constantly accepting their love and extending his love from within. In the path of bhakti, the residents of Vrindavan, they represent immersion in the deepest of all forms of samadhi or spiritual absorption. And it was expressed externally with constant tears. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita describes how the gopis, they were always expecting Krishna to come that day. They would cook for him. They would make garlands for him. Because they could only maintain their bodies with the hope that he would come before the suns would set. And when the sun set and Krishna did not come, they just continued crying. Their love in separation at every moment for all of eternity is ever increasing. But the sambhog, the union with Krishna in that state, was the most profound. And of all the gopis, Sri Radha, the Ladini Shakti, is the supreme, ultimate reservoir of all love, of all devotion. At the Rath Yatra, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Radha Bhavi, Radha Bhava Duti Subalitam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna with the complexion and the Mahabhava, the love of Sri Radha. And he is enacting the scene in Kurukshetra, where Sri Radha is inviting Krishna to come back to Vrindavan to give all the residents of Vrindavan their life back. Gundicha temple represents Sri Vrindavan Dham. And as the chariot is being pulled, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the mood of Sri Radharani, is exhibiting her symptoms of love. We can read about it. We can memorize it. We can speak about it. But we cannot understand it. According to our realization, we may be able to understand a sense of it. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was speaking to Rupa Goswami, he was describing that the science of bhakti. Bhakti means the loving relationships between Krishna and his loving devotees. This bhakti tattva, rasa tattva, shakti tattva, Krishna tattva. This subject is like an ocean. An ocean that has no bottom, and an ocean that has no shores. That means an unlimited ocean. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself is telling, the most I can describe from this ocean is one drop. But even this one drop from the ocean of Bhakti Ras, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, this one drop can completely inundate and flood the entire material creation. If that is the power of one drop, what is that ocean? From a perspective of quantity of water, if a ocean has no bottom and no shores, then the Pacific Ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, the Indian Ocean, the Bay of Bengal, put them all together, they're not even a fraction of a drop. But this is salty water. This is amrita, rasamrita. It's an ocean of nectar, of love. So when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is dancing at the Ratha Yatra, in the bhava of Sri Radha, it is that full-fledged, unlimited, inconceivable, ever-increasing ocean of Mahabhav, of love, that's being manifested on the streets of Puri. In the story of Madhavendra Puri, when Lord Chaitanya was in Remuna, he repeated the verse that Madhavendra Puri was reciting with great emotion prior to his departure from this world. He was in the mood of Sri Radha after Krishna left Vrindavan. That in the absence of my beloved, what shall I do? And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami tells, in all of creation, there are only three personalities that can fully understand this verse. Srimati Radharani, who originally spoke it. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was tasting it, who is Sri Radharani. And Madhavendra Puri. We cannot understand it. We could memorize it. We could recite it 300,000 times every day for the rest of our lives. And by causeless grace, we can get some experience of realization of one little portion of a drop of its depths. So this is what was happening at Ratha Yatra. Not only Lord Chaitanya was revealing this innermost secret to the world, but through Harinam Kirtan, through satsang of his devotees, he was inviting, without discriminating who is fit or unfit, he was inviting everyone and anyone to come and participate for the rest of eternity in this beautiful pastime. If we're simply willing to open our hearts and follow his teachings and receive his grace. But how interesting it is that at the very beginning of the Ratha Yatra, before he began his dance and he began to exhibit his Vrindavan Leela, he offered a simple prayer. Before Lord Jagannath, who was sitting on his beautiful chariot. He prayed, Naham vipro na cha narapatya na pivaisya na shudra. I'm not a Brahmin or a Kshatriya or a Vaishya or a Shudra. I'm not a Brahmachari or a Grihastha or Vanaprastha or Sannyasa. Gopi Bharatua Padakamala Yora Das 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 Anodas. My ultimate aspiration is to identify myself as the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord of Gopis, Shri Krishna. With that verse, he opened the doors. And without entering through that door, we cannot really ever understand, realize, or experience what real prema bhakti is. So we begin our yatra by offering these beautiful prayers of pranams to our acharyas. We've begun with Srila Prabhupada. Then Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj. Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. Through the entire parampara, we are remembering them with grateful hearts. To the degree we're offering our pranams with gratitude, with genuine honor and respect, our hearts are actually receptive to receive their mercy. This is why it is traditional that we offer Mangala Charan before auspicious events. Kirtan, Pravachan or classes, initiations, marriages. We begin not just as a ritual, but as a way of preparing our consciousness properly to receive the grace and the benefits of our spiritual activities. If we are not genuinely grateful for the sacrifice that these great personalities have made for us, if we are not genuinely grateful for the exalted position of their knowledge, their love, their renunciation, and their compassion, then it could come into our ears, could go around in our minds, but it doesn't transform our hearts. Bhakti, its purpose is a total transformation. Bhakti doesn't mean just doing things with devotion. Bhakti means the process by which our heart is totally transformed from an ego-centered way of perceiving ourselves and the world and all other people to a selfless, unconditional spirit of loving service toward Krishna, and perceiving the whole world and every living being in context of that love for Krishna. That is bhakti. Jagannath Puri is such a sacred, holy place. And it has been revealed through the lives and the teachings of our whole history of saints. Shankaracharya, who we believe is Lord Shiva, who had his special mission, he declared four dhams, the four most significant holy places, Badrinath in the north, Rameshwaram in the south, Dwarka in the west, and Jagannath Puri in the east. There are Puranas, Skanda Purana, Brahmanda Purana, that declare in great detail the glories of Jagannath Puri. Sometimes proclaiming it the holiest of places in all of Brahma's creation. And we are especially concerned with how Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed Puri to us. And to the world. When Lord Chaitanya was initiated by Sripad Ishwarapuri in Gaya, after humbly serving his guru, receiving the mantra from him, and surrendering his heart to his guru, Ishwarapuri, when asked by Lord Chaitanya, he said, "I want to surrender my life to you. Please give me initiation." Ishwarapuri understood that he was Krishna himself. He said, "I have surrendered my life to you." And if you want initiation, then I will surrender to giving you initiation. That was the mood between them. And that night, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left without telling anyone, in a mad state of ecstatic love, to go to Vrindavan. But the devas from the sky, they spoke. And they said, "Lord Vishvambhar, you descended into this world to establish the Yuga Dharma, the Sankirtan movement in Navadvip. This is the purpose of your coming to this world. So please go to Navadvip, establish Sankirtan, and at another time you can go to Vrindavan." Of course, we learn from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had three internal reasons for coming to this world in the form of Lord Chaitanya, and three external reasons. The three internal reasons were to understand the depths of Sri Radha's love for Krishna. Krishna could not fathom her love. And what it was about himself that attracted such infinite sweet emotions from Srimati Radharani. And what was the happiness she felt when she experienced the sweetness of his love? And the external reasons Lord Chaitanya appeared was to fulfill his promise in the Bhagavad Gita, paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chiduskritam dharma samstapadadhaya sambhavami yuge yuge, that he would descend in this world again and again to reestablish the principles of religion, to protect the innocent, and to annihilate the miscreants, to satisfy the prayers of Advaitacharya, and to establish the Yuga Dharma, the congregational chanting of the holy names of Lord Hari. So Lord Chaitanya went back to Navadvipa, and from that point, he couldn't conceive of anything except the chanting of Krishna's name and the remembrance of Krishna. And he literally flooded with an inundation of love of God through the chanting of the holy names, the town of Navadvipa. But there were people who had mundane conceptions about him. He was from a particular caste. He was from a particular ashram, being a grihastha, and they were seeing him in ordinary worldly ways. And due to that mundane vision, some people ignored him. Some were envious of him. Some were even threatening to beat him. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the almighty supreme source of everything that exists. An expansion of his expansion is the Karunadakshayi Vishnu, Mahavishnu, who simply by his exhalation he creates the entire cosmic manifestation. And by his inhalation, all the universes within creation enter his body. But the Lord, he comes to the world like a human being to attract our love and by his example to teach us how to love. He could have called his Sudarshan Chakra. As the Paramatma within every living being's heart, all he has to do is go like this, and you're dead. But he had a higher purpose. To manifest his compassion for those who were, due to egoism, negligence, were neglecting him. He accepted a life of renunciation. At the end of the night, the month of Magh, he left his house. His mother, Sachi, she felt it was going to happen. She heard rumors it was going to happen. She even spoke to her own son, and he tried to pacify her. But that night she stood at the door to prevent him from leaving. And he left his beloved consort, Vishnupriya, and approached his mother at the door. And when she saw that he was actually going to leave, she could not speak a word. All she could do was cry. And the Lord touched her feet and asked her permission. And by his powers, she kind of shook her head. And then he circumambulated her and went along the banks of the Ganga, swam across the Ganga, and then walked rapidly to Katva. And after receiving sannyas from Kesha Bharati Maharaj, he proclaimed he was going to Vrindavan. And he left. Kesha Bharati Maharaj said, I'm going with you. And everyone in Katva said, we are all going with you. He was chanting the holy names in an intoxicated state of love of Krishna. And everyone was following him. And then he sent everyone back, except for a few of his most confidential associates. And it was Nityananda Prabhu who understood the heart of the Lord so deeply. Vrajanja Nandana Jay Sachi Shuta Hoilos Balarama Hoilo Nitai. Nityananda Prabhu, he's the original guru because he knows the heart of the Lord and therefore he knows how to best serve the Lord. And we don't know, but under the guidance of Nityananda Prabhu and his genuine representatives, we can also learn how to please Krishna. Nityananda Prabhu understood that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the mood of Sri Radha, wanted to go to Vrindavan, her eternal home. But also, how the Lord loves his devotees so dearly, and how he wanted to be reunited with them in their suffering in separation. So he directed Lord Chaitanya to Shantipur. And there Lord Chaitanya met Sri Advaita Prabhu. And the devotees called Sachimata. And all of his loving devotees from Navadvip to come. When Sachi Devi saw her Lord Gauranga with a shaved head and the drab clothes of a sannyasi, her heart was broken. At the same time, her heart was rejoicing. Very inconceivable. On one hand, she was thinking when she learned that Lord Chaitanya took sannyas that she would never ever see her son again. For an ordinary mother of this world, that's an inconceivable pain. But when we consider that Sachimata is Yashoda, she's Kausalya, she's Devahuti, she's Bhumi Devi, the mother of the holy name that's born from our tongues. She's Aditi. She's the original mother. All motherly love has its origin and its total fullness in Yashoda Mai's love for Krishna, which is none different than Sachi Devi's love for Nimai. The joy of the love of a mother for a child in this world, in its highest extent, is not even a particle of a drop from the limitless ocean of Sachi Mata's love for her Vishwambar. Now, that is not minimizing the love of a mother in this world. Not at all. Because the love of a mother in this world is extremely deep. But when we understand how deep it is, we can just, with our farthest reaches of our philosophical understandings and even our imaginations, what is the nature of the inconceivably infinite, unending, ever-increasing motherly love of Sachi Devi? And that love, its ecstasy. In the world, pain is pain. But on the platform of the Atma, or the soul, which is beyond birth, beyond death, and beyond separation from Krishna, because Krishna is always there with us, we're part and parcel of Krishna forever. On the level of pure love, pain is ecstasy. Pleasure is ecstasy. No one can comprehend Sachi's pain and the ecstasy that that brought her. That she would never see her Nimai again. What was her joy when she was now seeing him? But along with that joy, what was her pain? When that beautiful long hair that would drape down his broad, beautiful golden shoulders, that hair that was scented with fine oils and decorated with very delicate garlands of jasmine flowers, malati, it was shaved. And his wonderful golden colored robes were now just a little above his knees as a sannyasi. And he had a danda and a begging pot, kamandalam. In other words, he had given up home and all forms of enjoyment. That was Sachi Devi's experience. She couldn't even hardly see him because there was so many tears welling in her eyes and falling and moistening her entire body. And Lord Gauranga, he bowed to her. And she picked him up and put him on her lap, looked at his face, kissed him. And Lord Chaitanya reciprocated. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the very embodiment of the highest standards of renunciation. But the power of his mother's love he spoke. He said, I am your property. My dear mother, I belong to you. It is by your love that I came into this world. It is by your love that I have been maintained in this world. It is by your love that I have connection to Krishna. I owe you everything. But somehow or other, my mind became very mad and I took sannyas. But now I tell you, I will do whatever you say. If you want me to stay at home, I am yours. How she longed for him to stay at home. At the same time, all the devotees, she was so concerned for them. And Sachimata's psychology was based on pure, selfless, unconditional devotion. She was only thinking of Lord Chaitanya's happiness. I know that you want to go to Vrindavan. But if you go to Vrindavan, neither myself or any of your devotees will ever hear about you. Because Vrindavan was so far from Navadvip. And you had to go through Jarikanda forest and all sorts of dangerous hilly tracts. But the same Krishna that resides in Vrindavan is living in Puri as Lord Jagannath. And Puri is not so far from Navadvip. Devotees are constantly going back and forth. So I will constantly hear news of you. And your devotees will be able to see you. And you will be happy because you will see them. For your happiness, my son. For your happiness, Nimai. Please make your residence in Puri. And that was the unanimous approval of all the devotees. And Lord Chaitanya accepted. Each of the devotees was volunteering to cook prasad for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Shantipur. But Sachimata, she appealed to all the devotees with great humility. You are all the Lord's friends and devotees. You may see him so many times. But as a sannyasi, he can never come back to his home. I don't know if I'll ever see him again. As long as he's here in Shantipur, give me the blessing of allowing me to cook for him. Everyone cried out, Jai Sachimata. And she engaged so many other devotees in assisting her to cook for her beloved Vishwambar. And when she would see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dance in kirtan, and the manifestations of the ecstasies She was struck with wonder. Sometimes he would leap high in the air, and then he would lose consciousness and come and fall to the ground like a bag of bones. She prayed to Lord Krishna that all the devotional service I have offered to you for all my life, I only ask for one benediction in return. That when my Nimai falls to the ground like this, protect him from feeling any pain. And the second part of the benediction that she asked was, let me not notice when it happens. After some days of kirtan, katha, and prasad, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with great eagerness, left Shantipur for the darshan of Lord Jagannath in the holy dham of Puri. He said, I will go. Advaita Prabhu and the devotee said, this is not a good time to go, because there are wars going on between different tribal kings between here and Puri, especially within the provinces before you reach Orissa. He said, it is very dangerous. If they see a pilgrim, they will immediately kill you. There's too many obstacles. You should wait. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke an instruction for all people for all time to come. He said, when in this world will there ever be a time when there is no obstacles? I will go to Puri today. And Sri Advaitacharya, he understood the Lord's message. And he gave his commentary. He said, my Lord, all obstacles are your servants, so you should go at once. That is your wish. This is something very deep. Because this material world means a place of impediments. We are so vulnerable. The environment around us is ever changing. The psychology of other human beings is so unpredictable. Predictably unpredictable. There are so many things that could happen to anyone at any time, irregardless of our position. However safe we try to protect our lives, something will be there to disturb us. It's the nature of the material world, that everything is changing. If we're simple renunciates doing madhukari, no possessions, sleeping under a tree, begging for some food, there will be impediments. So many impediments. And if we're millionaires or billionaires, where we don't even have to buy anything, we have thousands of servants and maidservants who will do everything for us, still, doesn't change the nature of the world. There will be impediments. Everyone has to suffer. Everyone has challenges. There's no material arrangement that can ultimately change that. It may be adhyatmaka, may be due to disease, may be due to old age, or fear of inevitable death. Adibhautika, miseries caused by other people. Sometimes our loved ones, the ones we trust the most, break our hearts. Snakes. Sometimes, even though there's no snakes, you're afraid of snakes. Because at the least expected moment, and you're dead. And adidaivaka, too much heat, too much cold, cloud bursts, monsoon rains, earthquakes, blizzards. They could happen anywhere, at any time. So many varieties of diseases that can attack us at any moment. Padam padam yapi padam natesha. So we cannot escape obstacles. But obstacles are servants of God in the sense that for a devotee, those obstacles help us to take our life very seriously. When things are beyond our control, and we know they will be, manifest or unmanifest, it can humble us and understand the need to take shelter of the higher power of Krishna's grace, and the need to follow that path by which we access the higher power of Krishna's grace. When things are nice, the tendency is we chant our japa and chant our kirtan in a very relaxed mood. But we're in a helpless state. We become very serious. We cry out for mercy. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, obstacles will always be there. But they should not impede our devotional service to Krishna on the path back to Lord Jagannath. And he left. And there's a beautiful story. He met one person, a very materialistic person, and that person saw Lord Chaitanya weeping in ecstasy of separation from Jagannath. And just by seeing him, his whole heart was transformed, and he wanted to serve the Lord, and he became a great devotee. And he arranged at night a boat. This is between Shantipur and Puri. He said, you can't travel during the day and you can't travel by land because it is just too dangerous, but I'll put you on a boat at night and you could somehow get by all of these very dangerous areas. So they got on the boat after the sun had set. It was dark. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was traveling then with Mukunda Dutt, Damodar Pandit, and Jagadananda Pandit. The Lord said, Haribo, have kirtan. Mukunda Dutt was such a beautiful kirtan singer. It describes when he sang about Krishna's names and pastimes, the entire assembly of all the devotees' hearts would melt. Mukunda was singing so sweet, And all the devotees were very, very enthusiastically responding. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was about to dance on the boat in the middle of the night. It was just a little rowboat. And the boatman, he said, "Stop, stop, stop. We have to be completely quiet. Where we're going now, on both sides are jungles. And there are pirates. Pirates who are looking for anyone to come by this area at night. And as soon as they see us, they will kill us and take everything we have, whatever it may be. And there's warring tribes of soldiers. If they hear us, they will kill us or take us captive and torture us. And in these jungles, there are large populations of tigers. And they prowl looking for flesh and blood to eat and drink at night. And they swim very good. If they hear you this singing, they will swim up to the boat and climb on the boat and eat us. And there's man-eating crocodiles in this river. If we attract their attention, they're gigantic crocodiles. They'll knock over the boat and they'll eat us. Stop this chanting. We have to be completely quiet. Now, if you were in that situation, you would probably take him very seriously. Lord Chaitanya saw that Mukunda Dutt immediately stopped singing. All the devotees were totally silent. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, if we are taking shelter of Krishna's name, what do we have to fear? Chant Harinam loudly. The boatman said, no. He said, chant loudly, Haribo, Hari, Hari. And Mukunda Dutt, inspired by the Lord's fearlessness, loudly, along with all the devotees, cried out the holy name. Ultimately, they came to Odisha. They came to the village of Ramona. Lord Chaitanya was told the story by his guru, Ishwar Puri, about the pastime of that place. The beautiful story of Srila Madhavendra Puri. This great devotee who was so deeply intoxicated with ecstatic love of Krishna that if he saw a dark cloud, sometimes he would just call out Hari and fall unconscious. Nobody knew what was happening. But he didn't care. Madhavendra Puri, he was traveling to various holy places. Lord Chaitanya told the story to his devotees. When he came to Vrindavan, performed the parikrama of Sri Giriraj Govardhan, and after was sitting on the banks of Govinda Kund. And there, a little cowherd boy came to him with a bucket of milk. He said that in my village, some people beg and we provide for him. But some people like you are too humble, you don't even beg. So I come with a little pot of milk to give you. I'll come back after some time to take the pot back. Madhavendra Puri drank the milk in his very, very deep spirit of devotion being at Govardhan. And after some time, he was waiting for the boy to come back, but the boy didn't come. He began chanting the holy names, and he had a vision, like a dream. In that dream, that little boy came back again and said, "I have been waiting for you, Madhavendra Puri, for a long time, in my form of Sri Gopal." And he took him by the hand and brought him to some dense bushes near Govindakund. And he said, "Here you will find me as Sri Gopal, Sri Nathji, the lifter of Govardhan Hill. And I've been waiting for you so long. Long ago, I was installed by Krishna's great-grandson, Vajranath. But due to warring kings, a pujari hid me here. And I'm very hot. Please bathe me with large quantities of water from Govindakund, with Panchamrita and Panchagavya. And I'm very hungry. Offer me an anakuta of mountains and mountains of bhoga. And construct a temple for me on Govardhan Hill, my home." Then the little boy disappeared from his vision. And Madhavendra Puri understood that that was Krishna. And at first he was thinking, how shameful. Krishna came to me and gave me milk and I didn't even recognize him. But he put his shame aside because Krishna gave him a service. And he called for some Brijabasis who cleared the way through these thick bushes, and there was Gopal. And he lifted him up and made a throne out of stones from Govardhan Hill and called all the villagers from the Anior area, and they had a wonderful ceremony. They had Maha Abhishek. And the entire village brought their entire stock of food and prepared mountains of rice and rotis and sabjis and cakes and offered it to Gopal. And Madhavendra Puri, after this wonderful festival, he just took a little bit of charanamrita, made a beautiful bed for the deities. Soon all the villagers of all the areas of Brajbhumi were coming because they all wanted to have this anakut ceremony for Gopal. After some time, he initiated pujaris to perform the seva. People came forward to build a beautiful temple for Gopal on Govardhan Hill. And then Gopal appeared in another dream to Madhavendra Puri. "That I'm still very hot. Please go to the Malaya Hills and get sandalwood and camphor to bring back to cover me with." Madhavendra Puri now, he has a beautiful temple, he has disciples, the whole of Brajbhumi is honoring him and worshiping him and assisting him. And on the Lord's command, he left everything immediately and had to go through all sorts of dangerous jungles and areas where his life was at risk, where he had nothing. He was alone. He didn't like to travel with people because people would sometimes speak about mundane subjects.
but he loved to be with great devotees. On the way to Vrindavan, he stopped in Shantipur, where he met Sri Advaita. On his way from Vrindavan, in Shantipur, he gave initiation to Advaitacharya, who was like his life and soul. And ultimately came to the village of Remuna, where he heard about this famous deity of Kirchor, at that time just Gopinath. According to the temple there, they tell the story that when Ram was in exile with Sita and Lakshman, they came to a particular place where Ram revealed his pastime of Krishna to Sita. And she so much fell in love with that form of Krishna, she wanted a deity. And with his own arrow, Ram carved Gopinath. And he was told about this offering of Kheer that was unparalleled in all the world. In Madhavendra Puri, he was always thinking of Gopal in every situation. This is the nature of a devotee. And this is the beauty of deity worship. When you become deeply immersed in service to the deity, then anywhere you are, you're thinking, how can I serve my deity? If you see a flower, you think, oh, this would look so nice for the deity. If you go by a store and you see some cloth, you think, oh, so nice for the deity. When he heard about this Kheer, he was thinking, if I only could taste it and understand what it's like, I could make it for Gopal. But then he was ashamed of himself. I'm thinking about tasting it while it's still being offered to Gopinath. So he just left after the aarti. Didn't say anything to anyone. But Gopinath appeared in a dream to the pujari after he was put to rest, and said, please, I hid one pot of Kheer for my devotee Madhavendra Puri. Find him and give it to him. The pujari woke up, took his bath, opened the doors of the altar, and there, in a secret hidden place, was a pot of Kheer. He was struck with wonder. He went into the village crying out, Madhavendra Puri, what a great personality you are. Gopinath has stolen Kheer for you. And he was saying this in all the marketplaces. So soon everyone in all directions was thinking, who is this great Madhavendra Puri? Gopinath is stealing for him. He's become Kheer Chor Gopinath just for this Madhavendra Puri. The deity is named. This was over 500 years ago. And since that time, the deity identifies himself to the whole world forever in his relationship with his devotee. Kheer Chor means I love Madhavendra Puri so much that I have stolen Kheer just for him. Just like there is Yashoda Nandan, Krishna loves to be called the giver of life and happiness to Yashoda. Nanda Nandan. Radha Ballabha, the beloved of Radha. Gopi Jana Ballabha, the beloved of all the gopis. Kheer Chor Gopinath, the thief for Madhavendra Puri, his devotee.
And Madhavendra Puri came and took that and ate the sweet rice and broke the pot up into little pieces. It was clay, and every day he would eat part of that and weep in ecstasy. But he didn't want to become well known, so immediately he left that place. And ultimately he came to Jagannath Puri. All the great acharyas would come to Jagannath Puri. It's interesting. Srila Prabhupada tells us Swarup Damodar Goswami, Gadadhar Pandit, these are some of the greatest of all personalities that ever lived in the roles of devotees. They never even went to Vrindavan. They stayed with Lord Chaitanya and Jagannath in Puri. Gadadhar Pandit, who was Srimati Radharani herself, took Chaitya Sannyas to never leave Puri. While Madhavendra Puri was here, even though he was trying to escape from fame, the Pujaris here had heard about him. Oh, you are Madhavendra Puri. We have heard. Gopinath scold cure for you. What can we do for you? Yukta Vairagya. Fame is a terrible thing for the ego. But if it can be used in Krishna's service, we should use it in Krishna's service. So he said, yes, Gopal wants chandan and camphor. Can you arrange for me? So they arranged. And not only the Arab, but in those days, it was very, very precious products. They arranged a large quantity. They arranged people to help them carry it. They arranged papers to keep people from taxing him and everything like that. They did every possible thing they could to help him. And on his way back, he really had to risk his life through all these areas of pirates and dacoits. Now he has a great treasure he's carrying. And when he came to Gopinath Temple, with great love he offered his dandavats and spent the night. And that night Gopal appeared to him again and said that Gopinath and Gopal are the same person. I am one with Gopinath. There is no need for you to risk your life and go through so much trouble. Offer all the sandalwood and camphor to Gopinath, and I will be satisfied. Remuna, the Gopinath deity, has been there since the Treta Yuga. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he extolled the glories of Gopinath throughout the world on the basis of the love between the Lord and his devotee Madhavendra Puri. And as Lord Chaitanya was finishing this beautiful narration and tasting the sweetness of the verse that Madhavendra Puri was chanting at the end of his life in separation from Krishna, the Pujaris came out and gave Lord Chaitanya all the pots of kheer. And he distributed them to the devotees and then to the public and tasted it. And how he glorified the taste of the prasad. You see, Lord Chaitanya was not tasting it with his tongue. He was tasting it with his heart. And this is bhakti. when we smell a flower that's offered to the Lord, when we taste the prasad that's offered to the Lord, when we see the form of the Lord, when we see a Vaishnav, whatever we do, it should be experienced in the heart, and it should be an expression of the heart. That is an advanced state of bhakti. The heart is the sitting place of the Atma, the soul. And the soul's very nature, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema, our eternal nature is to love Krishna and to feel the love of Krishna. He carried on his journey to Lord Jagannath and eventually came to the temple of Sakshi Gopal. And Nityananda Prabhu had already been on pilgrimage there. So he knew the whole story. And this time Nityananda Prabhu explained to all the devotees. There were just four of them. Lord Chaitanya and four others. The story of Sakshi Gopal in Katak. I'm not going to tell the whole story, but in essence, about an old man and a young man who went on pilgrimage, and how even though they both had so much affection for each other and such a sweet spirit of devotion, impediments came. The old man was so pleased with the young man, he said, "I want to give my daughter to you in marriage. She's such a nice girl. She would be perfect for you. She will make you so happy, and you will make her so happy." And the young man said, "But I'm from an inferior caste from you. I'm from a low Brahmin caste. You're a very high Brahmin caste. Your family and the society will never accept this." And the man said, "No, no, I am the father. What I say will be. Please, take my daughter." And the young Brahmin, it's not that he was eager for some wife. He just wanted to please the old Brahmin. For the old Brahmin's pleasure, he said, "All right, I will accept your daughter. But I want your promise to be intact, because truthfulness is sacred, especially among devotees." From this story, there are many lessons, but one lesson we could learn on a very practical level is how important it is to be honest and truthful with each other. Sometimes just for convenience sake, for practical purposes, we're not honest with each other. We're not honest with the world. To fulfill a particular agenda I might have, doesn't matter if I bend the truth. Doesn't matter if I say something without really knowing, even if it's damaging to someone. This is a pathetic state of consciousness. These devotees understood that when devotees speak to each other, they must be truthful. So the young Brahmin told the old Brahmin that to preserve your promise, let Gopal be the witness. And Gopal's, this was a different Gopal, his temple was just near the Keshi Ghat in Vrindavan, on the banks of the Yamuna. And the old Brahmin said to Gopal that I will give my daughter's hand in marriage to this young man. And the young man said, you are the witness. So then he came back home to Orissa, and when the old Brahmin told his family, the wife threatened to commit suicide. The eldest son was totally intimidating the father in so many violent, harsh, threatening ways, and the father didn't know what to do, and the young Brahmin came and said, you know, what about the promise? And they threatened to beat him. And then they scandalized his whole reputation. They went all around the area and they said that this young man is such a rascal. He's a criminal. He should be punished. He took my father on pilgrimage and he gave him intoxications and he stole his wealth. And now he's making up this lie to marry my sister. And the old Brahmin was silent because what could he do? If he went against him, his family members would start committing suicide. He couldn't say anything. He was in such a state. This is the nature of the world. Even if you try to do good, even for Krishna, so many complications will come. So when the townspeople came before the young man, he said, no, no, Gopal's the witness. And they said, what do you mean? He said, in Vrindavan, 1,000 miles away, we gave a promise before Gopal. And even the son of the older Brahmin said, if Gopal comes and testifies, then we will know you are telling the truth. Because he had no faith. And the boy walked all the way back to Vrindavan, just out of love and respect for this elder man, so he wouldn't be incriminated in a lie. And Prabhupada tells a story in one lecture. He said, Gopal, you're the witness. You should come to Vidyanagar and testify. And Gopal said, but I'm a deity. I can't walk all the way to Odisha. And Prabhupada said, his response said, if you're a deity, if you can talk, you can walk. So Gopal was defeated. And he said, with my ankle bells, you will hear me walking behind you, but if you ever turn back to look at me, then I will stop there and I will not continue walking. Now this was quite a temptation. Can you imagine? The deity's walking. Have you ever seen a deity walk? He probably really wanted to see the deity walk, but he never saw the deity walk. Because if he turned around, Krishna would stand there and not continue. So he walked without turning back all the way from the forest of Vrindavan to the outskirts of the town. And then everybody came and Krishna testified. He was the witness. Sakshi Gopal. And when they were married, the boy and the girl, their whole life was centered around only one thing, loving devotional service to Gopal. And eventually he was brought to Cuttack. They carried on their journey and came eventually to Bhuvaneshwar. Should I continue? When Lord Chaitanya and the devotees came to Bhuvaneshwar, they first bathed at Bindu Sarovar. And then Lord Chaitanya went to the Lingaraj temple and danced ecstatically before Lord Shiva. Vaishnavanam yatha shambhu. Lord Shiva is an expansion of Krishna. And he assumes the role of the greatest of the Vaishnavas. And Lord Shiva is famous for his great dance for the pleasure of Vishnu. And now for the pleasure of Shiva, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is dancing. The reciprocation of love. Mahaprabhu was dancing ecstatically for the pleasure of Shiva, and Shiva was watching in the greatest ecstasy, his beloved Lord dancing before him. In Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, there's a beautiful explanation of this. Shiva begged Krishna that you are my Lord. I only ask one benediction from you. Let me always live beside you. And Krishna, who loves Shiva more than he loves any devotee, he said, yes, I will fulfill your wish. There is a place called Ekambra Kanana or Ekambravan. That is where you should make your home. Because close by is Purushottam Kshetra. Purushottam means, Puri means a city. Purushottam. It is the home of the Supreme Person, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He said, by on the northern shore of the southern sea, there is a hill called Niladri, and there I reside as Jagannath. Krishna, the Lord of the universe. And he explains the glories, quoting from Skanda Purana, of Jagannath Puri. Krishna tells Shiva that in this Puri Dham, all the demigods are constantly coming for the darshan and the seva of Lord Jagannath. He said, in Purushottam Kshetra, anyone who goes to sleep gets the credit of the deepest meditation of yogic samadhi. Anyone who lays down, it's not different than offering complete prostrated devotional dandavats before Lord Jagannath. Anywhere. I could see some of you are very eager to lay down. Any words you speak in Puri is not different than the recitation of Vedic hymns. But we should take a sankalpa while we're here in Puri, not to speak nonsense, not to speak prajalpa. We've come for these holy places on pilgrimage for the purpose of purification, for the purpose of accessing ecstatic love for Krishna.
deepening our devotion and our commitment. So every single moment that we're here is priceless. When we chant the holy names, discuss Krishna, hear about Krishna with a sincere heart, we get immensely, many thousands of times the benefit of doing it in other places. So we should not waste our time complaining, criticizing, talking nonsense things, doing mundane entertainment. We should really focus as completely as possible in total absorption in hearing, chanting, and rendering service and remembering Krishna. That is the purpose of pilgrimage. When we perform these devotional activities in the association of devotees in a holy place, it can transform our entire lives. Krishna continued, any walking in Puri, every step you take is equal to circumambulating all the holy places. And he went as far to say, even if somebody eats fish in Puri, it's equal to eating Havishan, pure Mahaprasad. You see, we have to follow the scriptures according to the Acharyas. That's how we understand it. That's the power of Puri. But still, we have to follow the Acharyas. And then he explained that when the demigods and the heavenly planets look down at Puri, all living beings, the humans, the animals, and even the insects, they see everyone with the forearm form of an eternal associate of Krishna in the spiritual world. So Krishna told Mahadev that this is the home of my beautiful form of Jagannath. And I want you always close to me. So Lord Shiva, his eternal residence is Bhuvaneshwar. And that was one of his most glorious names. Lord Shiva went to all the different holy places in the universe and took a little bit of water, and he filled up the Bindu Sarovar with that water. And Kardama Muni did his tapasya there at Bindu Sarovar, and Vishnu, seeing the love of his devotees, he cried tears that fell into that lake. So it's a very holy place. From there, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued his journey with his devotees. And they came to Kamalpur, where there is the Bhargi Nadi River. Lord Chaitanya went to take his bath. He gave his danda to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. After he took his bath, or while he was taking his bath, Sri Nityananda Prabhu was holding the Ekadanda, and he looked at it and spoke to the danda. He said, I am carrying my Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in my heart, and he is carrying you. I don't like this. And he broke it into three pieces. And then threw it in the river. There are many explanations for this. I will be brief. You see,
in the Shankar Sampradaya, which Lord Chaitanya took his sannyas for social purposes, because on a widespread level it was the most honored and respected tradition of sannyas at the time. So people would offer their obeisances to Lord Chaitanya, and when they would offer obeisances because he's God, they would be liberated. And their hearts would be open to hear him speak and to receive the holy name from him. But the Vaishnav sannyasis have tridanda. Three large sticks and one small, representing we are eternally the servant of Krishna. And in our surrender, we are offering our body, our mind, our words, and our life in the loving service of the Lord. So Nityananda Prabhu broke the danda into three pieces to make it a tree danda. But then he was thinking that when there's four orders of sannyas, Bahudak, Kutichak, Parivrajakacharya, Paramhamsa. And in the Paramhamsa stage, one doesn't necessarily have to carry a danda. And my Lord, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya, he's Krishna in the moon in the spirit of the love of Radha. He's beyond Paramhamsa. It's below his dignity to hold this danda. Eka danda, tri danda, threw it in the water. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came out of the water of the Bhaginadi River, which from that day on became the Danda Bhangar Nadi, the place where the danda was broken. And Lord Chaitanya saw from a distance of 6 miles away, he saw the chakra, the flag, and the dome of Jagannath's temple. Repeatedly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in great eagerness offered full dandavats. And then he would get up and dance and sing and offer full dandavats to Jagannath. And inspired by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's enthusiasm to see Jagannath, Lord Chaitanya was chanting, dancing, Mukunda Dat Nityananda Jagadananda Damodar. They were dancing, chanting in great eagerness. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Jagannath's temple there, he started to walk very fast in such separation. It's in his heart, it seemed like thousands and thousands of miles away. Sunyayatam jagat sarvam govinda virahename. He was exhibiting this mood that he reveals in Shikshastakam, that a single moment, a twelfth of a second, seems longer than a yuga, an entire age. Sometimes our acharya is to make it a little understandable to us. Lord Chaitanya says it seems like a yuga. The smallest yuga is Kali Yuga, which is well over, 435,000 years. We say 12 years or more. That seems like a lot. Lord Chaitanya, that is how he was feeling in his enthusiasm to have the darshan of Jagannath. As they were chanting, dancing in a great rush to see Lord Jagannath, they came to Ataranala. And Lord Chaitanya there looked at Lord Nityananda Prabhu and said, "Give me my danda." Nityananda Prabhu said, "What happened is when you saw the chakra in Kamalapur, you started dancing and you fell down in your dance and you fell on me and the danda broke and it disappeared. I don't know where it is, but I hold myself fully responsible. You can punish me any way you like." And Lord Chaitanya said that the danda represents Lord Vishnu. He manifested, although in his heart he was very pleased, he manifested anger to show the world that whoever we are, it's very important that we observe proper morality, ethics, and regulative principles. And he said, "I will not go to Puri with you. You can either go before me or after." And Mukunda Dutt, he said, "You please go first and we will follow behind." And from that great 18 arched bridge called Ataranala, there are so many beautiful stories in Vaishnav history that took place there. Lord Chaitanya came alone in great, great anticipation for the darshan of Sri Jagannath Dev. And when he entered into the temple room, and from a distance, he saw the beautiful form of Shyam Sundar as Jagannath. Lord Chaitanya, like the wind in his ecstasy of love, with his arms reached out, he ran to Jagannath to embrace him. And we will continue the story tomorrow. Thank you very much.